don't see it all the time, because otherwise there would be no meaning to emunah. It becomes very clear. Whenever you do something wrong, you're broken. When you do something right, you lift it up. Of course, then everybody will do something right. Somebody said, suppose whenever you talk Lashon Hara, you get a toothache. So you won't talk Lashon Hara, believe me. Except for what reason? To save a dentist bill. And not for the moral or ethical implications. So you shouldn't have any pain in your teeth. So here's the same thing. If the cheshbon with God is simply like this, it always works out the way it's in our plan. The good crime does not pay, and the good people always get rewarded. Because then people would certainly all have emunah, but emunah would be worthless. It is that we're constantly tested, the nisyonos in life, but eventually it comes out. Eventually comes out that those who are high and mighty are smashed down, and the opposite, you see, those who were low are lifted up. Now, we do find this when a person has the speed to live very long, he can see it usually. If a person doesn't live too long, then he goes away from the world with a lot of kashas. Why this great Roshan was never punished and that great Tzaddik was never helped. But if we live very long, you have the sphere to see how these things are straightened out. This is what we say, out yinuvim b'seivo, v'sheinim v'ranim, they blossom in old age. The Hagid ki yosha Hashem, to tell Hashem is yosha. Tzuri v'lo avlos about. No avlo, nothing wrong with it, except if a person does not you knew him as Sabo, as we show him, he doesn't live too long, he doesn't see that. But if he lives very long, the longer one lives, the more he can see Yosha Hashem that make him and so forth. Now, of course, when we think of Ad Akoro Yoldo Shiva, the one who is Akoro has seven children, it may make a general observation, not necessarily that Hannah had seven children. Although we do find later, at the end of the next chapter, we do find that Hannah did have five more children. So she had six children. So if it refers to her, how do we get seven? Now, we find this later on. And Rashi brings it. Rashi says first, in Dalit, Keshis Giborim Chatim, Kach Umunosa Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is the Umunos Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the art of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the way he does things. Matish Es HaGiborim, he makes weak the strong ones. Mechazik Es HaKadoshim, he makes strong the weak ones. Maspia Es HaRe'evim, he satiates those who are hungry. Marivis hasveim, he makes hungry those that are satiated. And then atakor yodeshib. A look in Rashi. Rashi says, the ochu akor yodeshib boni. While the akor has seven children, bears seven children, rabas bonim, it happens sometimes that those who have a lot of children, umlolo means is broken down. Maulel means to break down in small bits. Here it means kaveras b'neir, she loses her children. Now then comes a medrash. Chano yoldo shivo, she had seven. Why? Shinema ki poket Hashem is ano. That says later in Posek, Hashem has had thought of ano. Remember to vatelet shlosha bonim ushtei bonos. She bore three sons and two daughters, besides Shmuel. Whenever Chana had born one child, Penina Kavera Shnaim, then Penina buried two children. She had ten children. The proof is Shinema, Halo Onofi Tovloch, Me Asura Bonim, I am better to you than 10 children. Asher p'ni she'yolda chana abo, and chana the fourth son, kovro p'nina shmona, I mean she bore four children, p'nina buried eight. She's abo, yolda v'lat chamishi, and when she became pregnant, and she bore the fifth child, nishtatcho p'nina l'ragleo, p'nina fell to her feet, u'biksho rachamim, and asked her for rachamim that she should intercede with her Kodesh Baruch Hu. Lechoya, and the child lived, and the child that should have died at the time when Chana bore a fifth child, lived. The two children, v'nikra al shmo, so the two children were named after Chana. In other words, since the two children of Penina stayed alive because of the will of Chana, so she had five children, and two, she had seven. Divrei Rabbi Nachman, that's one opinion. It evidently is mechulek with the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda that Penina meant the Shem Shemayim. She was a tzaddikess. She didn't lose any children. Rabbi Yehuda says, so how does she have seven? Bnei bonim harein kebonim. She had one son, Shmuel, but the Shmuel had grandchildren, and together the grandchildren are the same as children. Yesh amrim. Some say all this is meant figuratively. She's not referring to Penina. Referring in general, the number seven is a general number, but it so happens that the gematria of Shiva is Shmuel. So the thing of Shmuel, in Shmuel she had seven children, and she only had Shmuel. So this is the three explanations. Now we say Hashem mei misu mechaya. This is one more reason why this Haftorah is read on Rosh Hashanah. Hashem mei misu mechaya. Hashem causes death, and He causes life. He kills, He brings a life. Morit she'ol, He brings down into the grave. Vayo'al, and He brings up again. Here is amazing. Morit she'ol, and Vayo'al. Hashem mori shumashia. All this is then reflected in the Masanet Tokef, where we say, mi yichyeh, mi yomus, mi yeoni, mi yeoshyeh. So this is all what the thoughts, the reflections of Rosh Hashanah. This is why the Haftorah is so very fitting. Hashem makes poor, Rosh is poor, and makes poor, Umashe makes rich. Mashpil, He brings low. Ach meromeim, and He also lifts up. He also lifts up. And here the Chachamim say, Ach meromeim. The anger of HaKadosh Baruch Hu lifts up. Sometimes the punishment, that's the cause that it lifts up. So here we have the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah that bases the principle of the three Gimel Kitas on the Yom HaDin, that we have three groups of the Yom HaDin on this posuk. And Yom HaDin we have Tzadikim and Beinanim and Rishoyim. Tzadikim, Beinanim, Rishoyim. Together, the first letters form Tzibur. Tzibur. And Tzibur is actually composed of three groups. Except we say the Rishoyim. As long as the Rishoyim want to join the Tzibur, it's like the Arovas that join the Abaminim. They're all also elevated and atoned for. But this is Tzadikim and Beinanim and Rishoyim. Tzadikim and average and Rishoyim. Now we say that Tzadikim, of course, Nichtovim, Nichtovim, Alta, Chaya, Olam, Chaya, Olam. The Tzadikim immediately get Olam Abo. The Rishoyim go Nichtovim, Legeinam. And the Beinanim, this means after death, that Yodim, Legeinam, Umetzachim, Olam. They go down into the Gehinam, and they are, Umetzachim means they flee to the Kodesh Baruch Hu, and come up again. This is what Chana, Aleim Omru Chana, Hashem Morit She'ol, brings down into the grave, and He brings up again. Now there's that beautiful medrash where Matruna Achaz, the one intelligent woman in Rome, asked the Rabbi Yosef ben Chalafta. She says, he says, I believe that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, and this I believe. But Mishisha Lakan, Mishisha Yomim, Mosashem. says Mishisha Lekan Mal Osa, that after 6 days there's nothing to do anymore. What is he doing? Doing the, after they finish in 6 days, I believe that. But what is he doing since that time? He gave a beautiful answer. He says, Oma Lo Mal Sulmos Amovet Sulmos. He has ladders. Ladders go up and ladders go down. He puts, lets things go up and lets things go down. That means Ploni Shoy Osha Yoni. He makes the rich go down the ladder. He makes the poor up the ladder. So everything in the Hedgehog is constantly, so to speak, busy on a silly question. He got a very sharp answer. Hedgehog has nothing to do. Everything happens in life. All the ups and downs in life, it's all the doing of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, then it says, same Midrashim, they all say similar words. Yeah. It says, make him an offer doll. He raises from dust the offer. Make him, that's the next pasuk. Pasuk Ches. And that pasuk David HaMelech has incorporated in Halek. Make him an offer doll. He raises up from the dust, the poor, me'ashpos, from the dunghill, yorim evyon, he lifts up the needy. That means a needy person goes over the garbage, and that's the dunghill. Maybe he can find something to eat, or something that he can salvage. That's the dunghill. Me'ashpos yorim evyon, lahoshiv im nedivi, to place him next to the nobleman, a person who was on the dung, as we say in English, in the dumps. It was all on the lowest level. And the Kishpoh lifts him up and he becomes in a shivi medim, sits together with the nobleman. Noblemen are those who are menade. You don't need anything. They give. The givers, the spenders. And they give, help others. Those people used to be on the lowest level, on the lowest rung of the ladder, are now on the top. To help others in the divin, the chisei chovod yan chilein, and he makes them inherit a seat of honor. In other words, they get a seat of honor, and that's hereditary. The children and the children's children. Why? Ki Hashem metzuke oretz. All the foundations of the earth all belong to Hashem. Ayoshes aleihem tevel, and he has put. He has based upon those foundations, Tevel, the human world. We have many words for world, many synonyms, Eretz and Adomo and so forth. One is Tevel. Shem Horetz and Meloah, Tevel the Yoshua. Tevel is the human world, Yoshua world, those that inhabit it. Horetz is the planet, but Tevel is the, Adom is the soil. There are various synonyms. Tevel is the human world. The human world is based on Amudim. Who are the Amudim? The Tzaddikim. The Tzaddikim. Tzaddik is Yisod Olam. The whole world stands upon the Tzaddikim. Ayosu Aleim Tevel. Now, we have here, make him offer dol. It says here in London, in your suit, in Hanan Ben Yor, Ein Tzedokos bo ele mitoch hanitz. See, poverty, what are the positive aspects of poverty? It creates tzedok. Without poverty, there wouldn't be tzedok. Ein gemilas chasodim bo ele mitoch hanitz. Gemilas chesed, people are kind to others because of poverty. Ein odam hu yoresh shamayim ele mitoch hanitz. Person that comes to yoresh shamayim because of poverty. In the school of poverty, he learns the coming of Shemai. In Odom Loma Dibra Torah Mitochanis. And the person doesn't learn Torah only Mitochanis. Shinema, make him offer dol. He doesn't say, La, make him offer Osha. He doesn't lift up from the dust the rich. What does it mean? It means like this. It doesn't mean that the person actually have to be poor and begging for money. He has to feel for HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he is poor. He has to feel, Oza Dali, has to feel that we are poor. aniyim enachnu before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If I happen to have something, I say it belongs to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's his. He gave it to me. I can use it. I personally have nothing. All the gifts I have, all the talents, it's all given to me. At any moment's notice, HaKadosh Baruch Hu can take it away. I'm a poor man who has a bank account. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu lets me use the bank account. But I personally have nothing. So that feeling of aniyus, that I'm in the eyes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'm nothing. So that engenders all kinds of my incentive for Torah and for mitzvahs and so forth. Now, ki l'Hashem mitzuke oretz vei, kise chovod yan feeling. Yeah, kise chovod, of course, means here a simple seed of art. But we do know that kise chovod also means, and kise ha-chovod means the kise ha-chovod ha-kodesh Baruch. So here, indeed, that we say, that the Medrash says, it means that those who HaKadosh Baruch Hu lifts up, he lifts them up so high, he brings them to the Kisei HaKovod. Who are those? The Balei Teshuva. These are the poorest of the poor. A person that may lose his money, may lose his health, may lose his health, his children, he may lose everything. But he hasn't lost HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But if somebody has lost HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's really poor. That's the real poor. And make him an offer doll, and from the dust he brings up the poor. He brings him up Gedola Teshuva. Teshuva is so great. The Magas at Kise HaKovod. He goes all the way up to the Kise HaKovod. The Kise Kovod Yan Chile. He lets them inherit the Kise HaKovod. Now he says, Ki Lashem Metsuke Oretz. The Metsuke Oretz, that means the foundations, the pillars of the earth belong to Hashem. Says the Gemara in Yoma. The Gemara says there, Omer Rab Yochanan, Roa HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shatzadikim Mu'otim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu foresaw there are very few tzadikim in the world. What did he do? He did Vishoslan B'chol Dor V'Dor. He made it so that in every generation there are few tzadikim. Because the world only can stand upon tzaddikim. So if all the tzaddikim would live in one generation and all the subsequent generation had no tzaddikim, the world couldn't exist. So this is Klashem Metsuke Oretz, but they are sparsely divided in every generation. So that every generation at least has some great tzaddikim upon which the world stands. We're talking, in the Medrash is very remote, nobody really knows where it says so. But the so-called Lamed Vav Tzaddikim, the world can only be Miskayim Lamed Vav Tzaddikim. There are various other numbers that we used to say Lamed Vav Tzaddikim. But there means very few real Tzaddikim, Tzaddikim Emes, upon which the world is standing. Then it says here, Ragle Chassid of Yishma, the feet of his Chassidim, Das HaKadosh Baruch Hu protect. He guards them. Now Chassidim are those who love HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Chesed means love. Chesed means love. Sechati lo chesed n'urai, the love of your youth. Avas klula soya, people who do serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu because out of love. It means they do lifnim meshuras hadin. They do more than is required of them. Those people have special protection by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ragli chasid of Yishma. Roshoim, that the wicked, Pachoshech Yidomu, they will be put to silence. Yidomu, it's a fear. They will be put into silence, in darkness. Yelo b'koach yigba ish. Man shall not prevail by strength. Not by strength. It's not his own strength. It is those, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who loves, whom he gives special protection. The Roshoim, Pachoshech Yi. They will become made silent in darkness. Now, the darkness does not usually start after they have left this world. The darkness is the Bachoshech is the darkness of their minds, the darkness of their neshama. That is, to this, they become, they are condemned, and the lo b'koach yigbei. Hashem Yechatu Meriva. Those that fight against Hashem will be broken down. So we have to say, merivov shel Hashem yechat. Hashem, O Hashem, yechat merivov. Those that fight against him shall be broken down. There are certain people, they are not all the Shom are equal. Some of the Shom, they are called b'nei Belial. They have no yoke. In other words, they throw off every restriction, believe in nothing, they do whatever they please, no restriction, no fear of anything. That's one. But there are other Rishon who fight against that Rishon. These are the much worse. They're fighting. They're fighting against others who do right. They're fighting against the tzaddik. So these are the those that fight against that Rishon who yechato meriv. Olof bashomayim yareh. Against them, he will thunder in heaven. And Olof means against each one of them. He will thunder in heaven. So the Chazal say, even if they go up in heaven, he thunder against them. Now we'll come to that in a moment. Hashem yodin af se'oretz. Hashem will judge the ends of the earth. Yiten os lemalko. He will give strength to his king. V'yorem keren meshichar, and will exalt the horn of his enemy. In other words, she, in her Ruach HaKodesh, tefillah, now looks forward to the end of time. She looks forward to the time when the tzaddikim, the chassidim, will be protected by the Shvohu, they win the victory, when the Rishoyim will be condemned for eternal silence, and then the time when HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes over Hashem Melech, L'Bekoach Yigmish, man's force prevails not. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is then the ruler of the world. And then those that fought against him, he will smash them down. He will then judge all nations until the very end of the earth. And then comes Mashiach. He will give strength to his king and exalt the horn of his anointed. Of course, if she looks into the immediate future, this is an allusion to two things, that Shmuel Hanovi, he was a kingmaker. He first, he had to appoint Shaul HaMelech as the king, and eventually David HaMelech as the Mashiach Hashem. So this is the allusion to the immediate future. Now we say, Ragli Chasidov Yishmo, the feet of his Chasidim he will preserve. He got them. So the Gemara says in Yoma, since it is spelling his chasidov without a yud, it means like chasido. So it says, Rabbi Yochanan says, afile bishvil tzadik echot miskayim ha'olam. The whole world can exist even if there's only one tzadik in the world. It says, tzadik yesod olam emishle. One tzadik is the foundation of the world. And Rabbi Chabchidi says from that posik, Rak the Chasidov, he asked the question. Says the Chasidov, comes Rabbi Nachman and says Chasidov. It says Chasidov. The same is the other. It says Hashem Yechato Merivo. Those that fight against him will be broken down. Olof Hashemayim Yarem. It should be Aleihem against the Merivo. Against those who fight against him, he will thunder in heaven. What means Olof? So we find the Medrash Olu, you see. The Olof is spelled like Olu. It means Olu Bashamayim. Even they go up in heaven, Yarem, he will thunder. He brings them down with a thunderstorm. Now does that mean by spacecraft going up in heaven? No, it means something else. It means those Hashoim who were are great philosophers who go up in heaven, or if they in former times the Rishon could become great Nevi'im, like Bilam, a Novi. Bilam, Bolok was a Novi. I mean, Novi Sheker, Nevi'i Sheker, they were great. So even if they go up in heaven, that means they underpin their riches with high philosophy. They talk about the highest ideas of God, but in a wrong and crooked way. So Olu Bashamayim Yarem, also Yarem, And then we say Morgen Rosh Hashanah, Shemiach. What? Who are the Merivos? Those that fight against the Kodesh Baruch Hu. Aminim, Hamosores, Minim are non-believers. Hamosores means informers that give over Jews to the Gentiles. For Apikorsim, here the Rambam explains the difference. Shekofru b'Torah, that disbelieve in the Torah. Shekofru b'Tchias HaMeisim, those that disbelieve in Tchias HaMeisim. Shepirshu midaket tziba, those that have separated from the Klal Yisrael, they don't care about their needs. Then shenosnu chitosom chatisom of chatisom be'eretz chaim, they put their impose their fear in the land of the living of all those shechotu that sin, shehechtiu esarabim made others sin, kegon Yerovam ben Nevat v'chaverov. That means they cause others to sin. Yodin legehinom, they go down into the gehinom. Nidonim bo, the dore doros, they go down for dore doros for all generations. Valeim umro chana, concerning those chana says, Hashem yichata meriva. There are others about whom chana says they go down, they go up again. Now yiten os lemalko. So this is the end of the Haftorah on Rosh Hashanah. Now we understand that there are so many elements in this Haftorah which explain the reason very clearly why we should read it on Rosh Hashanah. The people base Posig Yud Aleph right after the end of the Haftorah of the first day of Rosh Hashanah. After Tfilas Chano, it says, Vayelech Elkono Oromosho Al Beiso. Elkono went to Romo, to his house. Now, which means apparently that he by himself went. Since we talk about Chano, so she must have stayed on. Certainly, in order to accommodate her child, that's 2 years old. So while Shmuel is forced to stay in Mishkan, but at the same time he still needs a mother. So it must be that she stayed at least for a while. She stayed on, and then she returned every year to see him. Now. So that may explain Ayelech Al Kona Horomosa. It does not explain Al Beiso over his house. It should be El Beiso. Now we do find here may be a remes, a hint. We find later on that Al Kona became a noble, an Ishurit. This birth of Shmuel was not only affecting Chana, he also gave his child. I mean, after all, this was his child as much as Hannah's child. And in effect, because later on, a few chapters later, we find by Yova Isher Akim El Eli. Isher Akim comes to Eli, has a message in the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to Eli. And the Chachom say Isher Akim is Elkon. So, Al Beiso means above the house. It means here may be a remes that he had an aliyah, that he came back after leaving Shmuel there, not as the same as he went away from the Beis Hamikdash. He got the inspiration at the Ruach HaKodesh, so by the time he comes, he's Al Beis. So this may be a remes. It says, V'hana hoya meshor reis es Hashem es b'nei Eli HaKohen. He was Meshores Es Hashem before the face of Eli HaKohen. Simple means, under the guidance of Eli HaKohen, he taught him to be Meshores Es Hashem. Now, Meshores Hashem means anything. Anything that he was doing, he was Meshores Es Hashem. He was learning Torah, doing mitzvahs, but the main thing in the Beis HaMikdash, helping as a child, he's not eligible yet to do anything as a Levi. He is not admitted before 25 years 5 years of age to an apprenticeship. In the 30 years he really serves. So, but he means Mishoras Hashem. So, from here we learn, Rashi says, Mikan, the Meshamish Bnei Tamidech Achomim, the Meshamish Bnei Hashchin. In which way was he serving Hashem? He was serving Elis, and Eli told him to do this, and Eli told him to do that. And so the Meshamish Talmud Chochem is the same as serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In fact, this goes back to a Yerushalmi in Erwin, where it says, Na hoy Meshores is Hashem, Halola Meshores, Eli Lifne Eli. He was a Meshores before Eli. Lamech Kol Sheirus, Sheshoras Lifne Eli Rabo. All the service that he rendered to his Eli, who was his Rebbe, Eli Shoras Lifne Shechina, as if he served after the Shkor. Rashi widens that out. It's referring to any Talmud who is Meshores. Mishamish Tamidei Chachomim. That's actually what it means. Mishores es Rabba, Ke'ile Mishores Lifnei Shechina. Now, of course, it could be a simple meaning too, that it means Es Bnei Eli HaKohen, means as much during the whole lifetime of Eli HaKohen, he was Mishores Hashem. But simple Bishat is definitely here, that under the tutelage, under the teaching, the prompting, the guidance of his Rebbe, Eli HaKohen was his Rebbe, and he was Meshores es Hashem. Now comes the other side of the coin. We have learned here of Eli HaKohen, the great tzaddik. We learn of Elkanah becomes a Novi, of Chanoch, who is an Isha Neviyah, of Shmuel, who is a little child, is already serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu with Hamikdash. This is one side of the coin. Now we're going on the other side, which is a very dark side. It's the dark side of the moon. B'nei Eli, B'nei B'liah. And unfortunately, it has happened before too. A person may be a great rabbi for other people's children, but not even a failure when it comes to his own children. B'nei Eli, children of Eli, B'nei B'liah. Now B'liah means people with B'li'o. Without yoke, without restrictions, we would say unscrupulous. They do exactly what they please. We're unscrupulous. We find the word Yotz Hanoshim Bnei Bliyal of the Avodah Zorah in Yehani Dachas. Bli'o. Bliyal is Bli'o, without any restrictions. The Bnei Eli Bnei Bliyal. Lo Yodu Es Hashem. They did not know HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now Rashi says here, Rashi doesn't say anything on that. La Yodes Hashem. It means they don't know HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The basis is Bias Hashem. That means that the fact that of their behavior was La Yodes Hashem. They didn't know HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It means they didn't know, of course, they knew of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Bias Hashem does not mean that you don't believe in Hashem or you don't know of Him, His existence. It means Das is, they have no contact with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The first word, the first time that the word Das appears in the Torah is Vayeda, Odom is Chava Ishto. It's the intimate relationship between Odom and Chava. Vayeda Kain as Ishto. So, the Ishlo, Yedo'o. So we do find an intimate contact when you talk. Das is if a person has a contact with a Bonshan, there can people that go through the Kohanim, they do only avodah and the Samikdash, they have no contact with the Kohanim. You can say that for many people, that means at this moment we have no Das Hashem, no connection at all. Go through the whole thing, venting to be a whatever we do, as the minister, 2 minutes, minister, so that at this moment, the Baruch Hashem came down, Das and no Das Hashem. Vayodas Hashem. Then Eli, who was the Kohanim, with Eli together, Vayodas Hashem. Umishpah that Kohanim is on. Now, they had made their own Mishpah. They made certain new rules in the Beis HaMikdash, which, of course, were of their own making.
Mishpat HaKohanim is on. With the people, the Kohanim had established the following rules. A Kol Ish, so they are there. Anybody who was singing a Korban, who bore Hanah HaKohanim, and the servant of the Kohanim came in, Kevashel HaBosah, when the meat was cooked, Hamazlik Shlosh HaShinayim Yom, and he had a three-pronged fork in his hand. Mazlik is a fork. Shlosh HaShinayim is three prongs in his hand. V'hikobakiyah, he sticks, he sticks the fork into the kiyah. And here is the fire pot, or badut, or a regular pot, or kalapas. Kalapas is a cauldron, a pan, or papura, also a kettle, whatever it is. All these things are various, either meat was broiled or cooked, or in the pan, it was roasted, whatever it is. He comes in, and that was the new rule. It doesn't look. Sticks in his fork, the three prongs, and whatever comes out of the fork, that belongs to the Kohen. That was the new rule. The Kohen untied the fork of the shelf. The idea is the flesh of the Kohen, the Shlomi, and the shelf is the right thigh. That has to be the Lula, the new for. Is lifting up and lifting in every direction, and this belongs to the Shbohu, and the Shbohu gives it to the Kohen. Dedicated up to the Shbohu, he has explained, poses the shelf, there's one, poses the chest which contains the heart, shelf is the thigh on which it walks. It means since the Kohen symbolizes the human personality, it means poses for the, which contains the heart, meaning the spiritual faculty, and show the physical faculty dedicated to the Shvobu, the Kohanim couldn't get it. This was a new rule which they made up themselves. In other words, it's like in a Shaman. If you get nothing on the fork, you get nothing. But if you get a lot, it's just bigger. Now, why are these various things mentioned? Because the following week, if you have a large pot, because large hand, so there's always only a three-pronged fork can only take out one piece. But you have, say, a korua, which is small and high, you have a lot of meat together, stick it in, you may get the whole meat out of it. So they said, no difference. They made a rule. That's up to you. You can use a very wide pot so to keep safe some of the meat for yourself. And if you use the kind of pot which is called the korua, where you have a lot of meat from one top to the other, so by sticking in the fork, the hiko means he hits it. And when it sticks in without looking, just sticks it in. Whatever comes out, comes to the cone. Koho yas, kolas yale hamatleg, whatever the fork will bring up, yika ha koin bow, that koin takes it. Yika bow means he takes hold of it. Koho yasu lechol yisroel, aboim shom, all of Israel that came there to Shiloh to bring a korban to Shiloh, they did it in that fashion. And the people didn't say a word. They said, this is a mishpat. They said, that's the rule. That's one of it. The number of two of it was like this. When is the Kohen entitled to eat meat altogether from the Kohen? Not before the bottom had to eat it. When is anybody entitled to eat meat after he has offered chalet on the mizbeach? The first chalet is matir the bosel achila. That means that when the bringer comes, it has to be done on the mizbeach and the chalet. Put the chalet on the mizbeach, then the barley can eat, and the owner can eat, and the balabos can eat. Otherwise, he doesn't have a right to eat. So he says they compound the avera of just stealing, robbing meat. That was just a robbery, plain robbery. Now, the terem yakiran is a chayim. before, they would be mocked at the chayla. They themselves have to come in, have to be put the smoke, the chayla, put it into on the mizbeach and a fire that goes up in smoke. Then the Naha Kohen came, and he said to the man who was offering the korban, to no bosa litzlos, la Kohen, give meat for the Kohen to broil. That means I don't want you to broil it, the Kohen needs raw meat also. Litzlos. Well, you can't mimcho bosa mavusho. He doesn't want any bosa mavusho, ki imchoi, only raw meat. No, necessarily, he doesn't like the way you cook your meat or you boil your meat. He wants to do it himself. He says, he asks for a bosom of bosom. But Yom, in this case, he can't use his fork. Because there's nothing, it's just like a whole animal. You have to cut it up first. So he says, cut the piece of meat, the Kohen wants that. But Yom, eight of each. If a man would say to him, Kaher, or each means the man who is owner of the car. Kaher, Hirun, Hayom, Kaher. First, they have today to bring and be knocked at the Shemus. But Kaher, Lacho, Dashet Harinachto. And then you take whatever you want. But first, Imakam, the mitzvah, what means Sachinah? But Machelem is not on the mitzvah. It means Makom is not even on the mitzvah yet. The Chelem is not on the mitzvah. For Omar Lov, he said to him, Ki atotite. Ki atotite. You have to give it as a kli excuse. That the kli is low with an olive. Omar says, low, no! You have to give it. Ki atotite. Or the excuse is, Omar low, he said to him, Ki atotite. You must give it. Low, and if you don't give it, lo kachti b'chosko, then I take it by force. In other words, a horrible development took place. Yichil Hashem, Yichoyim, and Noah, here the sons of the great Tzadik, the Kohanim, there were many more Kohanim. They were in charge of all the other Kohanim. They were in charge of all others, and they have developed that they took meat from the Kohanim as much as they could. They ate it, and enjoyed eating a lot of meat. And they just took it by force and stuck it in and say it's a mishpat. That's a law, everybody has to submit to it. And all is the result of something, Nebri Yal or Yodis Hashem. Nebri Yal or Yodis Hashem is something that goes on in the mind which nobody knows. It starts out when a person behaves in that outrageous way. It starts early. You're not starting with doing nothing. The person is doing something which is was much better. It's like Yodis Hashem. There's something that comes in the mind. The Novi writes that down. Neighbor Yal is also, you know, you cannot see something on the outside. On the outside, these people were putting their children into the Shabbos and the things of Havonis. Say the prophets and the Duchen. I mean, they're coming. They're doing everything. But their mind was not in contact with the Shabbos. The Olmach Shemayim had thrown off the Olmach Shemayim. Now, when you go around for a while doing your mind, you have no Olmach Shemayim. Eventually, you can hide yourself for a while and behave like a very high person, a hypocrite. You know, in his mind, he has completely different thoughts. Eventually, come out. Eventually, he come out, and this was the way how it developed. That Chibur Hashem. When in Rashi explains on Mishpat HaKohanim that it wasn't the law of the Kohanim, I said, hey, Kovo Lehem, they had made up such a law. It wasn't that you could mistake it like Mishpat HaKohanim said, that halacha that the Kohanim entitled to do this. They made it up. Lehem Lehoyer and Nachalo, all that they were entitled to have is Chose B'Shov Shil Shlomim. That's all the Kohanim gets. But that he sticks his gun, or he forces them to give him raw meat, all this is, of course, they made up themselves. And up themselves. Now, it seems to be that this was not only by force. The same applies to the meat. See that later. it applies to minute. Because the minute of the coin gets nothing. The minute belongs to the people. One brings the comet, the rest is eaten, the rest is eaten. Now we can see what they did with the mint comes a little later. Now, Vatehi, Tatat, and Urim, the Dolom, Oud, the Smeyasim. The sin of the young man was very great, the Smeyasim. In Niyatsu, Anoshim, Smilchas Hashem. Now what does that mean? Since the man despised the mincha, they give God to the Shbohu, now the sin of the Neorim is the Dolom Ha'od Ha'Sneyasim. Well, what does that mean? It means like this. It says in Posit, the test what? Gam beter mi akhiru zachel, more Naa Kohen. The Naa Kohen, that's the young man of the Kohen. These are the either the young Kohenim or the employees of the Kohenim. When they came and they said, you give me the meat or else, I take it by force, I doesn't even want them. So they threatened him, or maybe they beat them, or whatever. So this sin of the Neorim was great, Shnei Hashem. Ki niyatsu anoshim es milchas Hashem. The sin was not only that they were stealing, robbing, taking by force, but Chilul Hashem. The ultimate is always the Chilul Hashem. He says, for all averus, there is a kapora, and they say certain averus.